Okay, this is the National Pacifica National Finance Committee meeting for December 1st, 2005. My name is Dave Adelson. I'm the chair. Casey McFall is the treasurer, the secretary. Casey, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, Dave Adelson.
Here.
Teresa Allen. Barudy Bediako.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Here. Hello?
Got it. Thank you. Patty Heffley. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Casey McFall is here. Mark Roberts. Marnie Tattersall. Sandy Weinman.
He's out of the country.
Marnie, is that you?
Yes.
I don't think you said here when she called you, or maybe I didn't hear it.
Well, you heard me, right, Casey?
No, I didn't hear you, but I was going to come back around. And Laverne Williams. Okay. One, two, three, four. We've got six people. That's quorum.
Okay, there are 11 members on the committee. Okay, I sent around a draft agenda that included a number of items. It also includes an executive session at the end of this meeting to deal with confidential legal and matters related to confidential negotiations and to legal issues. Is there a motion to accept the agenda? And then we can move to amend it if necessary.
I'll make a motion to accept the agenda with any necessary changes.
Okay. Are there suggestions for changes?
Well, on the last, on the legal matter.
Yeah.
David, I understand that the board's going to take it up, and it's on their agenda, as I recall. You know, I'm inclined to let them deal with it.
Okay, that's fine. It had been raised in the last meeting as something that might need to be addressed, but I do think it's more a board matter than the Finance Committee matter. But we can set the executive session agenda on those items. We can delete items when we start the executive session. Anything?
I just have a comment about it. It's listed on the agenda as retirement of legal debt, and it's an executive session. And I understand that if we're going to be discussing, I guess we're not going to discuss it, but if it were to be discussed in executive session regarding anything that had to do with the case itself, that would be appropriate. But if it has to do actually with the bill and whether or not it's being paid, that should be public information. And so when and if that gets discussed and where, that should be made public as to the status of the bill.
Okay, I would disagree, but it's moot because I don't think, I think following the line of suggestion, we ought not deal with it in this committee.
Are we removing it from the agenda altogether?
Yeah, I'd like to deal with the executive session agenda in executive session, not in this part of the meeting.
So are you saying that the public doesn't get to hear what's on the agenda at executive session?
Not the specific items we report out after the meeting. Any motions, any issues dealt with, and motions passed.
Okay.
Any other amendments to the agenda of the public portion of the meeting?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I see we have a fairly large number of items.
Yep.
Question is, what's the timing on it? How long would this one, do you think?
Hang on a second. Let me add it up. I did that last night. Half hour. 40, 55, 65, 75, 115, 135. The public session is 2 hours, 15 minutes. The executive session should take about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. So we're looking at 2.5 hours total.
I may have to get in my car and drive and follow along on my cell phone. I hope that's the point of.
That's fine, and we may be able to cut down on time on some of these items. Some of them won't take as long as I've slotted, but I like slotting more time, not less, than holding to it. Any other changes? Okay, and hearing no further changes, we'll accept the... is there any objection to adopting this agenda? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted. The next item on the agenda is the scheduling of the next meeting. And actually, for those following along at home, I'm just going to read quickly the items on the agenda. Scheduling of the next meeting, approval of minutes, consideration of Tattersall motions introduced at the previous meeting, having to do with general manager expense reimbursements and the role and authority, the relationship between station business managers and the CFO, report on Spanish language programming progress, the budget calendar, misspelled, and report from the General Ledger Software Group, surplus and reserves, review of available financial reports, the CFO report, and then executive session.
I had one other item.
Yep.
That was I sent along some of the detail of the proposals I had made at the last board meeting.
Yeah, as I said in my email, I think that should be part of the CFO report. The parts of it that are not already under the agenda, the budget calendar is already there. Surplus and reserves are already there, and the general ledger software is already there. So we'll deal with the other items as part of the CFO report. I added some time to that to account for it. Okay, so scheduling of the next meeting, if you go to, hold on, kpftx.org, /PA calendar. That's our calendar for the month. We could do something on December 15th or the 22nd. Any preferences?
Not the 22nd.
Okay.
Santa Claus would be upset with me.
Would the 15th be acceptable?
That's okay with me.
Everybody else at the same time?
Yeah, 15th is okay with me.
I will ask to be excused on that date. I will be unavailable.
Any other discussion on the date? Okay, hearing none, I will set that right now on the calendar. And
we might want to confirm that later in the meeting if there are additional people who join us.
Sure. I will notify them, and we can reconsider if it's a problem for any others. Okay.
What time will that be, Dave?
8 p.m. Eastern. Okay. And next on the agenda, okay, is there any, hearing no objection? Then we'll move to the approval of minutes. I included the November 17th draft minutes with the notice of meeting. The minutes that Jane had taken, she has distributed from us, so I think we should take them one at a time. Is there a motion to accept the November 17th minutes, which Casey originally sent around to us a week or two ago? Hello?
Motion to accept.
Okay. Any adjustments or comments on those minutes? Yeah, she actually sent it the day of the meeting. That was great. Thanks, Casey. Okay, hearing no comments, is there any objection to adopting them? Okay, hearing no objection, the November 17th, 05 minutes are adopted. Jane, you sent around the minutes for September 16th and September 29th. Have people had the opportunity to look at those? Well, first, is there a motion to accept?
I move that we accept the minutes of the
29th and 16th.
16th. Should I do one motion or accept them?
Up to you.
When were they sent, by the way?
Jane sent them at 8 a.m. this morning.
Lonnie, I sent them 2 weeks ago to you individually, and by mistake, I sent them to the Pacifica Governance Committee, and nobody complained about getting minutes from the Finance Committee from Governance. I didn't realize it until today that I sent it to you individually, and then to the...
Yeah, I have the ones from this morning. Okay, yeah, I did look at those. Okay, right. Let me just make sure I did read them. Okay.
I have one issue. In the 9:16 minutes, we dealt with the question of minority reports, and you said that it wasn't discussed. I do recall going through and reading at one of those meetings what is in Robert's Rules about the presentation of minority reports. Was it at a later meeting than those two? I guess we did it the fall. I remember we said we would deal with that when we dealt with the reports in a subsequent meeting. Okay.
Right.
Well,
I know for sure we didn't get to it on that one agenda.
Okay. Well, they look fine to me. Anybody else? Comments? Okay, hearing no further comment, is there any objection to adopting the minutes for September 29th and September 16th, 05, that Jane sent the committee? Okay, hearing no objection, those are adopted. Let me get back to the agenda. Hold on a moment. Okay. Next thing is the consideration of the Tattersall motions introduced at the last meeting on November 17th. The first of those was a motion by Tattersall that all general manager expense reimbursements must first be submitted via expense reports with receipts attached for approval to the executive director or the CFO in the executive director's absence before these general manager expenses are reimbursed. It's now up for discussion. The motion had already been put forward, so we're discussing it. Comments?
This is Casey.
Go ahead.
I just think it's a really good practice, and I support the motion.
Okay.
I and the dog do as well. We both speak out on this one. Yeah, I think it's good to memorialize this as a policy, and that it is does plug a hole where the issue of how receipts are accounted for, how expenditures are approved, is basic. So I do support it, and hope that the committee will support it as well.
I have a question. One, if the dog is in favor of it, what happens if the dog eats the receipt? But the more important one is we're talking now about the managers about there being some oversight on GM reimbursements rather than them having final authority to sign off on their own reimbursement, and that seems wise. Is there any parallel oversight on the reimbursements for the ED? And might we want to make there be some sort of, reciprocal thing for the executive director, such that any reimbursements are reviewed and approved by, like, the CFO and vice versa?
I think that's worth considering. I certainly would, have a big I will come with a motion around it at our next meeting.
Right.
With the IED or whatever, just
right. In the interest of time, then let's not delay now. But that would be helpful. Can you note that in the minutes, Casey?
Yep.
Okay. Any other discussion? Actually, I just have a technical question. When general manager expenses are reimbursed, how does that happen? Who writes the check?
Well, the way we have it set up now is the business manager reviews the general manager expenses. And generally, a second signer, that is to say not the general manager himself or herself, would sign off on it. But I think that in the circumstance where there's no business manager, or in the circumstance where there may be conflict and clashes between the business manager and the general manager, that it is wise to have a process where the general manager's expenses come through the ED or the IED.
Can I ask one other question? Might we want to make this a little bit easier by doing faxes so the business manager has the original receipts? Because as written, it sounds like the receipts stapled on there, the original receipts are going to be sent to the national office. wouldn't it be reasonable to have the business manager simply fax copies of the same to National?
I'm hopeful we can leave it flexible until we...
Right.
You know.
I don't think if I can, when I can speak.
No, go. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't think there's anything in the wording that says you can't use a fax copy.
Right. Okay. All right. Any further discussion?
Yes, I just want to say that getting a business manager to approve their boss's expense report is not the same as a general manager getting their boss to approve. So that is one of the reasons why so many of us feel that this is an appropriate measure. Did someone disappear?
Or join?
Yeah.
I guess not. Okay. All right. Then, if there's no further discussion, is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's adopted. The second motion is that the role and authority of the CFO includes a dotted line reporting relationship from the station business managers to the CFO. Discussion. All right, I'll say something then. I think it's vague. I don't know what a dotted line reporting relationship means. Or maybe it's not vague and I'm just ignorant. But I think that should be clarified. I do have other comments, but I'll hold them.
Okay. I could speak to that unless Lonnie would like to go first.
Marty, why don't you go, and then I will follow you, if that's okay?
Sure. Okay. In general, in many organizations, the dotted line relationships are functional. So that specifically, like in the broadcasting business, you would have all the chief engineers of the various stations reporting up to the national director of engineering. You would have program directors reporting up to the national program director, and you have business managers reporting up to the CFO. Now, that's a dotted line because that is not their number one boss. Each of those functional positions in a station, their per se number one boss is the general manager, but because of their functional duties, they have dotted line to their functional counterparts at the national office. And in a well-functioning organization, when a functional boss says jump, one basically jumps, and one certainly doesn't go, you're not my boss, so I'm not doing that. And that's, in a nutshell to me, what dotted line relationships are about, and they're very valuable and appropriate.
I'll yield to anyone else. I do have a comment.
I wanted to just
respond. Follow
up if I could.
Go ahead, and then I'd like to respond.
Well, also in the dotted line relationships, where you have professional expertise involved, where in this case it's accounting expertise, that business manager will coordinate and will ask for a review of any expense you might find either difficult or there will be accounting issues. So you want to leave it open for that business manager to have, referring to the dotted line. But yes, I do consult with the business managers. They consult with me on expenses from those of the general manager as well.
Lonnie, we lost you. Someone's zipping something or making some noises. Could you repeat the last couple sentences?
Oh, yeah, that it is a valuable, and many organizations do it precisely for those reasons. If, say, you have a conflict between the general manager and the business manager on the legitimacy of an expense, under accounting basic control philosophy, that business manager ought to be able to basically review or coordinate with, in this case, the CFO, if there's that kind of conflict. And not simply have to take the word of their general manager or their immediate boss. So it's a professional, that dotted line includes the professional relationship, in this case, around expertise, which is accounting in this case. And also, there's a review and coordination process. And that dotted line also generally tends to include those two functions as well.
Yeah, I think that dotted line could mean different things to different people. And I would prefer if this motion could be reworked to make it a bit clearer. And I think it would also be helpful, since it involves the manager, the relationship between the manager and the business manager and the CFO and the business manager, that we, I would like to invite the general managers onto, I would like to table this until next meeting, ask that the maker or Lonnie work the language up to make it a little clearer, and invite the managers on for comment before we act on it at the next meeting. Would that be acceptable to people?
I object.
Go ahead.
I object. It's not a matter of asking general managers for their permission, and I also object to saying that dotted line is not a well understood concept.
Miss Jane.
Go ahead, Jane.
I have a general question before I get to my specific one on this. If when we adopted that last motion without objection. Does it then go to the PMB to be officially adopted as specific of a policy?
Yes.
So just the fact that we adopted it just means that we approved it and we will be sending it adoption.
Recommending.
It means we're recommending, yes, to the National Board that it adopt that motion.
Okay.
As a policy.
So on this point, I feel that we should... I would like to speak in favor of the motion, being well aware that if the GMs want to have something to say about it, they're going to still have an opportunity to say something at the PMB. To me, it just seems like common sense. I have felt like there should be something like this. I didn't know the terminology, so I do think that... it's somewhat intuitive, a dotted line reporting relationship. Okay, cool. I mean, that just makes sense. I never heard that reference, never heard it before, but it just sounds like what they said it meant. So I would be in favor of it for those reasons.
Other discussion? Okay, hearing none, I am going to make then a formal motion to table until the next meeting, requesting the dotted line, that the motion be more fully described, and that we invite the general managers to comment. And my reason for that is that I don't think it's appropriate to rework language in a motion at the PMB level. I think we should have done that work at the committee level and taken that input so that we're sure it's not a matter of the general managers giving their permission. It's a matter of being sure that everyone involved has clarity about what it means for the various relationships, and I do think that we will short-circuit a lot of difficulty if we solicit their input before we do that and are sure that everyone's clear on the meaning and any snags are dealt with. So,
can I ask a question, Dave, please?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Within the job description of the business manager, is there some explanation as to their relationship with the CFO? Does anyone know?
Lonnie, do you have those job descriptions handy?
And no, I don't have them handy, but I do know what common practice is. Common practice, they do coordinate. If you know, dotted line is commonly accepted language out there, but other people understand it to mean coordinate and are free to review with the CFO any expenditures they think that the CFO might need to review. So that is practice. That's what we, in fact, do. Because the danger is if you have a business manager who feels intimidated or feels that the general manager can decide whatever expenditures are, whether they're in the budget or not in the budget, and don't have a formal relationship where they can go and ask that outside opinion, in this case the CFO, it's a real danger. And that's why in accounting it's commonly established that business managers, departments and universities, what have you, do have access to the VP of finance or do have access to CFO if they have one. So it's standard control in accounting. One pair of eyes are going to look on experience.
Right. No, I agree that it's a good policy, but I'm just trying to, I think I'm kind of thinking what Dave is thinking, I don't necessarily think that we need to bring the GMs in on it, but I think maybe we need to know when maybe it should be clarified. And I thought maybe within the job description of the GM, it would indicate this is what you go to the CFO for, this is when you can go to the CFO, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe that could be the guidance as to what the dotted line relationship is. But I agree that it makes sense that the business meant that the CFO be a resource and a reference for the GM. So I do think it's good, and I don't think we necessarily have to have for the business managers. I don't think we necessarily have to have the GM's input, but I just, maybe it would be good to get clarity to say, okay, you know, I kind of know what it means too, but, you know, I don't know if I would articulate it the same way. You know, if everybody's going to articulate it the same way, I guess that's what I'm saying. So maybe.
By the way, just from a procedural point of view, although a motion to table is not debatable, I'm allowing debate because I think it may help us anyway.
Marnie?
Yes, I was just able to call up the business manager job description for KPFA. And, of course, since each one of these stations operates kind of a lot on its own, I can't say what others have said, but what the business manager job opportunity for KPFA, which was filled by Lois Withers, it said, works closely with the Pacifica National Finance Office staff to ensure financial compliance and consistent reporting.
So how does that differ from a dotted line relationship?
Well, it didn't name the CFO per se. And I would just like to say, I mean, for me in this line of work, when my dotted line, a CFO, for instance, gives us a budget calendar or some budget revisions or forecast revisions that are to get done, we follow those. I mean, we don't go to the general manager and go, hey, is it okay with you that the CFO has said this is due on this and that date, or that we have to bring in revenues or expenses or operating surpluses at a particular level. It's just a respectful working relationship. Unfortunately, that does not seem to be the case in this organization.
Well, Marnie, what happens if the CFO is asking for things on a certain timeline and the general manager is asking for things on a timeline and those timelines conflict? You know, the business manager is going to have to, I mean, being clear about, you know, which requests take priority under which circumstances. Ideally, right, the manager and the CFO will be in contact as well and on this, and so
right.
Things
particularly
like that.
Particularly because, I mean, say that we're like talking about budget timelines. The CFO will set those out for the full organization, not just for one station. And then all the business managers and the GM should be working toward that. And certainly when the CFO sends out that timetable or particular schedules or things that have to be done, the GMs would certainly be apprised and involved and included.
It's a conflict. We three would get together and work it out.
This is Casey.
Go ahead, Casey.
It sounds to me like there's a difference between what's in that job description, which says a close working relationship, and what's in the motion that calls for the role and authority and a reporting relationship. And, you know, working, I honestly think that saying that there's a good working relationship isn't enough. I know that, you know, the way I'm feeling right now is that some of the issues we had in our budgeting process might have been avoided if we had known that the CFO could come in and say, this is the schedule, this is what has to happen. Instead, what we heard was, well, that's not how it's done in Pacifica, when in fact that is how it is done in Pacifica, and we just didn't hear it that way. And so I think that it's important to spell out that, you know, if the CFO is going to be able to have control over financial processes, there's got to be some way for him to work and instruct people working in finance at a lower level without them being able to say, well, let me ask the GM if that's okay.
My feeling on this is I'm hearing different flavors of interpretation of this, and I remain desirous of clarity so that later on down the line we don't hear that it means, you know, that one person thinks it means this and another thinks it means that. That's my own prejudice. So I'm going to go now formally move that we table to next meeting and request that the nature of the dotted line relationship be clarified, and that we invite the general managers for comment prior to acting. And obviously, if folks feel that that's not necessary, they'll vote against that motion. I heard that there was objection to that tabling, so Casey, can you call the roll, please?
This is LeVar, and I just wanted to let you know that I am on the call now.
Hi, LeVar. Welcome. What we're doing now, we passed the first of the Tattersall motions that were in the agenda. The second one is that the role and authority of the CFO include a dotted line reporting relationship from station business managers to the CFO, and I've moved to table until next meeting requesting that the motion be clarified and that managers be invited for comment at the next meeting, and Casey's taking the role now.
Okay. Adelson?
Yes.
Bediako?
Yes.
Gatewood?
Yes.
Hicks?
No.
McFaul is no. Tattersall?
No.
Williams?
No.
That's 4-3.
Motion fails. Okay. Is there further discussion on the motion before we bring it to a vote?
Well, I'm wondering, in order to kind of make everyone feel better about it, if there's a way to amend it, you know, that doesn't take us half an hour.
Well, Dave, you know, I think that I see what Marty thinks about it as a friendly amendment, is that I think there is no confusion over principle. People understand the principle of what we're trying to accomplish. What may be at issue is the implementation. That is, how will it go? I think that maybe, if Marty agrees, that we could we pass it on principle as the motion is written, and that it'd be a follow-on implementation. And that implementation process would be a consultative process. If every GM says this is fine in terms of how it's going to be implemented, then I think that the NFC ought to go along with that. You know, because it's we're doing pretty much this right now without too much of a problem. We had a problem last year on a budget timetable, and we certainly need to fix that. But the process of business managers relating to the CFO, talking about expenses, general managers and CFOs, general managers and business managers may be disagreeing, but it hasn't been a terrific issue except on the budget timetable. And it wasn't, you know, most stations. It was only one or two that felt that the timetable could not be established for all stations on. And we got into difficulties. So I think.
Okay, so are you proposing an amendment that implementation details will be developed by fill in the blank?
Yeah, if that's something that's agreeable to Marnie.
Absolutely.
Okay, can you fill in the blank? Who will develop those implementation details?
Well, I think that if I can get some language quickly here, that an implementation plan will be developed by the CFO and the NFC, and a report be brought back to the next meeting.
Okay. Do you have that, Casey?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. Can you say it one more time?
Well, I think that if Marty agrees that an amendment might be an implementation plan will be developed by the CFO and other interested NFC members and brought back to the next NFC meeting, or I may not be able to get it done then, but brought back to the first meeting in January of the NFC, because you're talking consultation.
Okay.
So that gets added on to the end of the motion.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sorry, did you say for the next meeting?
Well, the first NFC meeting in January.
Why don't we not specify what meeting? Why don't we just say
it'll
be done and brought back to the NFC, and then we'll do it when we have it.
That's a friendly amendment, Marnie.
I'd just like to say my understanding is that once a motion is brought forward, it no longer belongs to the maker, so I appreciate the deference, but I'm not due the deference on it, in my opinion. But certainly it's fine with me. The only other thing I'd like to say is I don't really think it needs anything more than the CFO to implement it. I'm very sorry that in this organization, these kinds of organizational policy and procedures matters even have to get up to a board and into a National Finance Committee. But apparently if they do, then that's what we should do. But I'm really here to just give the support to the CFO and say, go do your job.
Well, thank you for that. It does that amendment to the motion does say the CFO will bring back the plan.
Right. Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment? And you have the language of the amendment, Casey?
I have, and an implementation plan will be developed by the CFO and brought to the NFC for review.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yep. That sounds like, well, is that the intent?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Is there any objection to amending the main motion in this way? Okay. In that case, is there any further discussion on the amended main motion?
Can we read it one more time?
The main motion would be that the role and authority of the CFO includes a dotted line reporting relationship from the station business managers to the CFO. An implementation plan will be developed by the CFO and brought to the NFC for review.
If there's no further discussion, then is there any objection to the amended main motion? Hearing none, it's adopted, and we're only 6 minutes behind schedule. Okay, next item is the report on the Spanish language programming progress. This is identifying funding for the National Spanish Language Programming that was approved by the National Board in Los Angeles in January. The minutes of the last meeting said that Casey and Lonnie would coordinate with Ambrose and Rob Robinson regarding Spanish language programming plans and budget needs. Can somebody report on that?
Well, we have good news and bad news. The bad news is that we've been waiting for Ambrose to set up the meeting, and it hasn't happened yet. The good news is we're back on schedule for our agenda because there's nothing more to say.
Thank you.
All right, great. That is good news, sort of. Any further discussion on this issue? Okay, hearing none, then we'll move to the next item, which is the budget calendar. Lonnie, you were going to try and get us a draft budget calendar, a couple things, and I know that Baruti was going to send around a version of the budget calendar that he had worked on. What is the status of things?
Well, thanks to Baruti, he did send out the budget calendar. I did review it and started the process of reviewing it with the business managers and then on to the GMs. Now, I haven't heard from everyone given the kind of hectic schedule, but I do have two or three reactions that I have gotten. I also looked at it in terms of the finance staff. There are two or three reactions. One of them is that it begins in fairly early in the fiscal year. So you're talking about a process that begins in March and goes all the way through September. So that's a fairly long period. Some comment I heard was, do we have to begin quite that early? And some folks are feeling that they would not be able to even begin to think about next fiscal as early as that. So that may be easily fixable in terms of, a month later or whatever the case might be if that would not do damage. Second comment that I can report on is around the issue of the initiation of the budget and how the final numbers in the budget would be arrived at and by whom. That is not clear in the budget calendar. Maybe it doesn't have to be, but I think that is something to take up, and we should discuss that calendar in more depth, I think, when I have a little bit more feedback from folks. But at that point, those are two initial reactions that I can report on. My reaction to it is that it is difficult to get people to focus on next fiscal year in terms of beginning that early in the year. That would be March, I believe. And then the process of prioritization, because in the calendar, it calendars what activities shall happen first.
And some people felt, well, I don't do it that way at my station. And how much flexibility is it going to be? Do I have to go to the LSB to do budget prioritization first? So I think the issue of who, how much flexibility there is in that calendar, because it not only talks about dates, it talks about who shall be involved first, who's second, who's third, and that is, that didn't feel very flexible to some people. And also some stations don't quite do it that way. So I think what I'll do is I'll write up all the comments that I get, and I'm still getting some, and send it on to the committee so that folks will have that feedback. The calendar is not a neutral simple date-related document because it identifies accountabilities. And those accountabilities we haven't really discussed as a committee, and we need to. That is a companion piece to the development of the calendar.
Just out of curiosity, Lonnie, I mean, when you say that, it suggests a wider-ranging conversation than just 10 or 15 minutes on an agenda. What's your thought about how much work it's going to require to get that those issues worked out? Are we talking these are major things that are going to take a couple months? Are we talking a session where we all come to agreement and vote? What is your thought?
No, it's a tough one because you don't want to necessarily dictate the stations what they do and in what order and on what date. That generally creates more problems in itself. My thought was to come back and have a discussion of outcomes by what date and not try to be so specific about who's going to do what, leaving the stations open to maybe work out something that works for them, as opposed to our on NFC trying to dictate it. So if we say, just to be thinking off the top of my head, because once I start getting into details with folks, they had to check with LSB people. They had to check, so it's a chain of people involved. So that means the LSBs would have to have dates, and they'd have to establish those dates. And so you got a chain going. Pretty soon we're in NFC evaluating dates for LSBs to meet in specific months, and that gets complicated. So rather than go there, my thought was to have a discussion on the calendar around the outcomes by what dates we want. And I mean by that is we want a budget in our hands by a certain date. We want a review process to have been completed by whoever's going to do the review process by a certain date and not try to tell folks who in what order. That may get sticky. So anyway, that's the conversation I was hoping we'd come away with. Okay, what do we really want and by what dates? And not specify necessarily a detailed process.
Other discussion?
Yes.
Marnie, anybody, who else would like to speak on this?
You can put me on the stack.
Okay, Marnie, Baruti.
Yes, LaVarne.
Marnie, Baruti, LaVarne, Baruti, LaVarne, Casey, and I'll put myself after that. Jane, do you want to weigh in on this too?
I just think that we should require all LSBs to vote in July because August is insane.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, Marnie?
Lonnie, it sounds like you've opted to go with the calendar that Baruti sent you and felt that the one that I had sent you didn't work.
No. That's not my
intent. Okay. All right, because mine did not have a start date of March. I believe that starting in May is appropriate and can work fine. So, and it seems to me that if an attempt were made to perhaps meld mine with Baruti's or something, you wouldn't have gotten the feedback from people who said that March was too early. I'm looking at Baruti's timeline, and I can see budget goes to local finance committee in March, and that in January the GMs are meeting with the LSB to discuss budget priorities. I do agree that is way too early, and I would like to have the one that I submitted, which is used in real life, by an organization that has the same fiscal year as Pacifica.
Well made, Marnie.
Just could you clarify what organization are you referring to?
No. Okay, the one
Verudi?
I work for.
Mm-hmm. Oh. To me the key date is when does the LSB have to approve its budget and submit it to Lonnie for what he has to do? Because obviously the way it works now, he doesn't have sufficient time to to actually do the things that he needs to do with the budget, which is to review it and, you know, make comment on it, and maybe have the LSB make whatever changes need to be made. So I guess that was what the goal of having that information to Lonnie by May 31st, because then that would still give us June, July, or still give you, you know, plenty of time to go back to the LSB and then have everything done in time to give it to the get it to the PNB by August 31st. So I guess the key question is, Lonnie, when do you need to have budgets from the LSB to do what you need to have done?
Well, the way it has actually worked out best is if the LSBs have finished the process in July, I think Jane made that suggestion, I tend to agree.
What, July 1st?
Yeah, beginning of July, because after the 4th of July happened, so it would be really toward the end of June. Because the first week in July is lost. It's a holiday period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that by the end of June, the LSBs should have finished their work with it. That leaves the month of July for me to look at it and to get back to the LSBs with the changes and the melding that may need to get done. And then by the end of July, I think that the NFC has a month, the whole month of August, to look at it. Where the way we did it last year is that some of the LSBs were still looking at budgets in August, and that was not going to work out for a September meeting because there was no room to go back and tweak things, and you do need 30 days to do that. So July, I agree that the LSBs should have finished their work by the end of June, but no later than the first week in July.
But remember, if you take the month of July to do what you have to do, you've got to get it back to the LSB. LSB has got to meet. They can't.
I will be getting back to them in the month of July. Once they finish their work in June, I will be looking it over in the month, the first two or three weeks in July, and be back to them and the general managers and whoever with my responses. And then that leaves the month of August for the NFC to have its look.
No, but remember, the LSB has to meet and consider what you've proposed.
So yeah, and I'm going to do that. Remember, I will have been in on the front end of this, so it won't be totally strange to me. I know what the general managers have proposed. I will have a draft budget. It is only the LSB input that I will not have. And if I get that by the end of June, I can look that over fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Structure will have been in place. They will, you know, salaries, all the detail work, I'm assuming, is not going to be done by the LSB. Now, if you're saying to me the LSB needs time to do salary changes and detail work, then I would have to say I object to that notion of what they should be doing.
I'm not saying that.
We have about 9 minutes left in this agenda item, so next is LaVarne.
Yes. I guess in terms of the timeline, I don't have it in front of me, but I think if we put some more process of procedures in place, I think it would flow better. Like we talked about the quarterly forecast. So, Lonnie, if you're doing a quarterly forecast and the each business manager and treasurer, we are all getting that information, so people will kind of have a better feel in terms of going into the planning process, because you have a better idea about how you're going to end the fiscal year. So as far as the timing, Marnie had pointed out, I think, what did you say, May or June? June would be May, I guess, would be the earliest in terms of getting started. But in May is also the time that are at the end of March is when you should have your beginning of April, you should have your second, your third quarter forecast. So again, when you're doing the forecast on a quarterly basis, you know, not every month, because that's just too time consuming for what Lonnie has to do, I believe, that, you know, if we could get that process in place, then I think moving toward going into a planning process will not be as difficult as it is looking at it from this point of view.
Good point, LeVar, because we will have that quarterly forecast.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what your budget next year is going to look like unless you know how you're going to end the year in many respects.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If we get that process in place, not only you, but the business managers get that process in place of doing a quarterly forecast, it will make that a much easier transition into doing your plan.
Agreed.
Casey.
Thank you. I've been trying to hear what everybody's been saying regarding this, and I'd just like to spend a minute or two telling you, you know, how we do it in our organization, since other people have. And I kind of relate our nonprofit to Pacifica in the way that each of our departments would relate to each of the stations at Pacifica. And we try, in order to make the budget approval by the entire board go smoothly in the end, to keep people involved and informed at the beginning. So what I do is I give department heads a list of things that have to be done by certain dates. And I think, Lonnie, that's what you're referring to as outcomes.
Yes.
So for example, I will say, you need, you know, if the Human Services Department needs to meet with the Human Services Committee to make sure that everybody's involved, you need to come up with a budget proposal, you need to give me a wish list of numbers. All of that needs to go to the CFO by this date. But I don't necessarily tell them that they have to put the budget together and then go to the committee. They just have to tell me that when they're meeting with the committee and that these things are done, so that they kind of have a checklist that they check off. And then I know that, you know, some of our department directors want to put together a proposed budget before they go to the committee. Others want to sit with the committee and do what the committee says. Some of that's just personality. Some of it's because they have specific ideas about how they want to work. But, you know, we call them benchmarks, and I think, Lonnie, that's what you're referring to as outcomes, so that we have budget benchmarks that are like in the beginning of the year. They start out and they go every 6 weeks, and then they go down to monthly, and then we have benchmarks that they have to meet every 2 weeks before our board gets the final budget, which they get a month before the meeting to approve. And so is that kind of what you mean, Lonnie?
Yeah.
That we would give them a list. So that list might say, you know, by this date, you need to have gotten priorities from the LSB, you need to have had certain numbers of discussions, or you need to have had discussions, you need to have a draft generated by this date, but not necessarily in that order. But that then you know that every station is at least moving along and all of the steps are being completed, but we're not saying that the business manager has to come up with the budget with the GM and then go to the LSB, or the LSB comes up with it first.
I agree with you. That does, that summarizes what I was trying to say. Thank you very much.
Jane.
My main point would be the need for the quarterly forecast. And just wondering
right now. Did you speak up, Jane?
We've got a March statement that for the period ending March 31st, we'll probably have mid-May. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. No, I think that if we're talking the end of a quarter, what I could do is have it ready by the 20th or the 15th of the following month.
You mean the March 31st, quarter ending March 31st, would be ready April 15th?
I could. Some of the expenses I could pro forma basis, but we're talking about, yes, I could do a forecast from that point, the end of that quarter, to the final fourth quarter, so that folks would have some sense of how their particular stations or units were forecasted to do. Of course, they may have changes.
Well, I don't think we may not need it quite that early, but are we looking at shortening the time frame? I mean, right now we wouldn't expect to get that March 31st statement until around sometime after May 8th.
Yeah.
Right? It's at least 40 to 45 days.
Yeah, I'm saying that it depends on how we conceptualize what's supposed to happen. If we're talking second quarter, March 31st, the issue is what will happen between that second and third quarter. Will it be budget prioritization? What activities do we expect to be occurring during that period? Then the third quarter, we would then go to more specific activities. I'm just saying that we would make the effort, as LaVarne was suggesting, to identify what we do when we have concrete data on a quarterly basis as we move through the budget process.
Right, but our June statement definitely, if the LSVs need to get their first draft done by the end of June,
yeah,
we would basically be working with our March 31st statements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I'm next. What Lonnie said about the flexibility and the inclusion of accountability to specific bodies or people in the calendar, I agree with the sentiment of the prior motion that we passed. It says that, you know, be clear about it. We didn't say let's leave it flexible what the relationship is. We said we want something that was called a dotted line reporting relationship. I think it's crucial to define what the respective authorities of each group in the process are. I think that was one of the things that we ran into trouble with this year, and we spent inordinate amounts of time talking about it. So my main concern also in this process is that there is a consultation between the board and the management at the beginning of the process so that there's a discussion of what the various priorities are. I think that's really important for the role of the local station board in the overall process. So I do hope those things can be maintained in whatever the outcome is. A, the definition of the lines of accountability, who has what authorities, and B, the inclusion at the start of a consultation between management and the board. And as an aside, I think management should also meet with staff very early in the process and have a similar discussion. That puts us at time. We're not considering a motion at this point. Do people want to extend time to talk about it further, or shall we move the agenda?
I think that we need to have something before us that melds, as Marnie had suggested, some of the ideas that Broody had and when she had initially placed before us. And I need to finish the consultation process on what we already have. So I would say let's move the agenda a melded version of the proposed budget timetable be sent out for us to have something concrete to look at.
Okay, without hearing a motion to extend time, then we'll move on to the next item, which is a report from the General Ledger Software Group, 10 minutes. From the 11:17 minutes, General Ledger Software Work Group was formed. Members include Broody, LaVarne, and Lonnie. Broody will convene the group.
Yes, I was a little delayed in getting convening us, but we are going to meet on next Tuesday to begin that. So the report at this point is just that we have set a meeting date, which is next Tuesday, and we will report back at the next meeting in December.
I believe we saw some stuff though on some progress in the area of accounting. Is that not the case, or are we just waiting?
Not aware, Dave.
Pardon me?
You mean you saw some? It's on email or?
Yeah,
something?
Didn't we get sent an email about progress on, or this? Maybe I'm mistaken. I'll withdraw the comment.
This is LaVarne. Now, Broody sent out the information on software that could be used, and it directed us to a website where we could look at more information. So that's what was done. So thanks, Broody. That was great.
Thank you.
Okay.